Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. It's Monday evening. This is Access Astrology, three astrologers who speak with you about what's going on in the sky, and we're happy to take calls from listeners, and we'll see what we can tell you. And this is Mark Waltz speaking to you from New York City over on the west side of Manhattan.
And Ann Ortley talking to you from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And Heather.
And normally, Heather Roan Robbins is with us from way out in North Dakota, and somehow we haven't got her on the line yet. We're hoping she calls in momentarily.
Momentarily, yeah. Heather, call in.
Yeah.
Heather, call in. It's like the eclipses, you know, like, you know, one a week, you know, kind of boom, boom, boom.
Right.
One of us is here, one of us is gone, you know. Last week they got you. The eclipse got you because you had the flu. So
that's
it was
right.
Like he got eclipsed by the flu. Right,
yeah.
Before the new moon, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
I know.
But I ended up getting an antibiotic.
Wow.
And it was my first trip to the pharmacy in about 30 years.
Wow.
And I couldn't get the bottle open.
Childproof locks got you, huh?
Exactly, yeah. I didn't know what to do with this thing.
It's like, how do I get this open, you know? What am I going to do? Wow.
Yeah.
30 years since you've had antibiotics? I'm impressed. Well, you know, Mark, I want you to know.
Okay.
If you don't, if you've never laid eyes on Mark, Mark is a yogi? I don't know what the right word for it. He does yoga. He teaches yoga. So not only can he stand on his head, but he's, like, really, really in fabulous shape, and he's, like, really super healthy. So Mark never gets sick. So for Mark to be sick, there's Heather. For Mark to be sick,
hi.
We know it's Heather. Hi, Heather. Yay. Heather's here. Heather, where are you calling in from today?
I'm calling in from Cody, Wyoming.
Wyoming, okay.
Wyoming, having just visited the Medicine Wheel on the Bighorn Mountains, a truly astounding experience, like visiting Stonehenge.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Wow.
It was. It was the coolest thing I've done in a long time.
Very neat.
Yeah, you guys are camping, right?
Yes, that's why we're in town at the Buffalo Bills old hotel, the Irma Hotel in Wyoming, just to make the phone calls.
Wow. Thanks for coming in from the Medicine Wheel. I'm impressed. That's
pretty
cool.
And how's the sky? How's the sky out there?
Incredible. And we had some hailstorms yesterday. But when you can see it because of the new moon, the sky is the Milky Way is right there in front of you.
Because there wouldn't be big sky country, would it?
It sure is big sky country out here. There's a lot less animals than there was last time I camped out here, which was 10 years ago. So it's kind of sad to see how many less animals there are.
Really? You can already notice, you can notice the difference, yeah?
Yes, we can.
Wow.
Yes, we can, which is sad. So how is everybody tonight, and how are the stars look?
Well, the skies look good. And we were just saying Mark is back from his bout with the flu, so that's good. And he's very healthy-looking people. Like Heather popped in the middle of there.
Right.
So anyway, for him to be sick, first antibiotic in 30 years, Heather, is what he took last week.
Ooh, my goodness.
So.
I know.
You better enjoy your acidophilus afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, otherwise yeast infections. Yeah, so this week we're in the middle week between two eclipses. So we got one more to go, folks. We had two already. Normally there's only two. But this time we're lucky because the eclipse is right on the south node, so we had three, count them three. So the next eclipse is in Leo and Aquarius. So this is the build-up week from the new moon to the full. And, you know, the beginning of this week is going to be easy, and then as we get towards the back, it starts to get a little turbulent because we're getting near the eclipse. So it's definitely kind of an interesting mix of energies. And because Venus is in nice aspect this week to the gang of three, she's in the last aspects of Gemini. So Venus in Gemini is flirty, chatty, connected, related, cha-cha-cha. And she's talking to the gang of three, Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron, who are kind of mulling things over there. And they're the ones that are responsible for changing all your dreams. So she's kind of saying what she wants her new dream to be. So this is a good week for verbalizing your dreams, at least getting the first pass out there. So that's my... My
it's
path on Venus, huh? Yeah, it is.
I agree with you. And but what I one of the things that I've noticed with Venus and Mars in Gemini is when I went to do a meditation walking around the medicine wheel in Wyoming, it took me forever to calm the chatter in my mind. Venus and Mars are very chatty.
Mm-hmm.
And Venus and Mars are in this very chatty energy, which is very high static, very kind of, which is good on a good day. Mm-hmm. But when we want to really calm our minds, it takes a little extra effort right now. It takes a little effort. Meditation may take a while longer. It's great to talk out your dreams and discuss what's going on and dream the new dreams because there's some wonderful new things coming on. But a great example of the eclipse energy that I've seen recently. While we were gone, we called into the tribal college that we work with, and the head of the department quit. The chairman of the tribe was ousted, and the chairman of the head of the university was replaced.
Wow.
So there's been a complete eclipse of the power structure, and hopefully room for something new, maybe even better, we don't know, better or worse, but it's a complete change of all the power structure in the town where we live. And so we're going back into that. Now, this we might see this in lots of places right now where the old power structure is gone, and Venus is saying, dream your new dreams, because you got to, because the old dreams aren't working.
Right.
So you know, whether your old work isn't working, your old love isn't working, your old relationship patterns are working. So what would work? And that's what I see this new eclipse. That's what I see this waxing moon speaking of. You know, we've got this very chatty, not particularly meditative energy going on. It can get there, but we have to use a lot of words to get there. But if we can use this chatty time, this word time, to really talk to our dreams, to talk to our muse, to talk to our higher self and say, you know, what new dreams do I want? We got to come up with something because the old ones aren't working. So what's here? And how can we empower it? Because Venus is in beautiful transits right now.
Yeah, she is. She's
and
got
a girl. Tonight, as we're speaking, she's trining the moon. There's a grand trine with the moon in Lipa.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
It's gorgeous. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
We like her. We love Venus.
Yeah, it's actually a good way to use group energy, too, is look at the collective dream and, you know, talk about that and have everybody, you know, toss the piece of the collective dream into the conversation. So
yeah.
You kind of dream out loud. You know?
Well, I think part of the energy is when we do this, you know, this whole shifting, changing thing. It's also like, New Jersey's, you know, you're out west, Heather, but they just arrested like 40 or 50 people in New Jersey for fraud. You know, the government. So the government just kind of basically got arrested in New Jersey. So it also is the power struggles.
With rabbis.
Yeah, the power struggles in your local environment or in your work environment, they can really kind of very flare and really kick up and really just kick butt. So just kind of watch and keep your mouth closed. Pay attention to the changes.
If you weed a garden and you don't plant anything new, all you get is an empty patch.
Right.
And so just like the college that we're working with and the small town in North Dakota and the tribal government that just lost all its power and is finding new ones, and just like most of New Jersey, which lost a lot of its elected officials and has to find new ones, can it find anything better, or are they going to just plant weeds again?
Weeds. New Jersey. It's the Garden State.
New Jersey. Right.
No, I'm not being mean to anybody in New Jersey, I promise.
but there is such fertility there. And can they plant something different this time? And I think that's what, you know, if we lose a bad job, we don't want another bad job.
Right.
Right.
How can we make something better? If our relationships aren't working, how can we drop the relationship habits that aren't working and find something better?
Yeah.
You know, it's how can we have a better dream?
Yeah. A different, new, improved version. And if you like the old version, that's okay. But if the person who you were dreaming it with took off, just know you can pull in a new one. You don't have to. They might be done with you, but you can say, you know, I really like that relationship. I want a do-over, and go for another version of the same. So
exactly, you can keep the same dream and replace the personnel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you might notice which part of you didn't notice that they didn't dream the same dream of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, notice that, because one of the things that I'm worried about with the aspects that are coming up right now is that, you know, Mercury's moving into opposition to all of those wonderful planets, the gang of three, as they say. And Mercury isn't thinking too clearly right now. So we are dreaming, but we're not too logical. And I'm seeing, you know, I bought a lottery ticket today, and that's fine. But how many people are choosing to live in the fantasy rather than manifesting? And to notice where, you know, if we dream, if, you know, three relationships in a row haven't worked, we've tried the same thing, and the one thing they have in common is us, maybe we need to change.
Yeah, but that would mean we have to change, Heather. We don't want to change. We like it the way we are.
Well, how?
Because we know who's
going. The dream, but notice our habits that aren't contributing towards that dream.
Oh, habits. We have to change our habits. I don't like the sound of this.
No, we keep the dream, we keep the personnel, but we change the habits.
Right. Yeah.
Or, you know, if we change the personnel, we're going to have the same thing unless we change our habits.
Right.
And to start noticing what about us can contribute towards that, the dream. You know, what are we doing that's not contributing towards the dream, and how can we contribute towards the dream?
Are you saying somehow I'm responsible for the problems in my life? No. It's Pluto in Capricorn time.
Co-responsible. But you can change your half. You can't change their half.
That's true. I've been having a lot of...
Get on board with their dream, kick them out, and find someone who can. But meanwhile, what can you do to change that?
Right. I've been having a lot of people complaining, like, well, I don't want to, and I'm like, well, you know, they're not going to. So if you don't want to and they're not going to, then you got a stalemate. You got to figure out some new plan. So.
Exact. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well said.
Well, and you know, Saturday is the day to do that.
Saturday is the day to kick them out?
The opposite Pluto.
Right.
But
why, why would that be a good day to get rid of them?
Venus will be opposite Pluto there. So,
Venus opposite Pluto.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Venus opposite Pluto does what? Kick them out? Yeah, you're kicking them out of bed before you even know if they're any good? Come on. There's a shortage out there.
No,
you know?
It's ones you know very aren't after 10 years. But it's, I think that you're right. The Venus opposite Pluto lets us see how we isolate or how we create our own loneliness.
Yeah.
And that sometimes that we don't reach out or that we don't connect. We forget to tune in to the spirit, you know, and forget to feel connected to the one. Venus opposed Pluto can really notice that place in our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really allows
us to... If you want to cut somebody out, it's the time to do it.
Right. Yeah, it's surgery time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that, Mark.
Well, it's a lot of precision and focus. So, you know, if it's relationship that needs to be focused on, then this weekend comes in with that. So we've had the easy aspects with Venus early in the week, and then Mercury getting a little revved up with its oppositions, and then we move into Venus opposite Pluto, and that really, it's like bringing a magnifying glass into the situation and just really focusing very deeply, because by the end of the week, after all the activity of Venus and Mercury, we pretty much know where the conversation has brought us. And
so
we know what the hot issues are, and now we can really train that magnifying glass right on the most important points of whatever the relationship is. And, you know, go in there and do microsurgery.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So if I have to have my cat's tooth pulled, this is a good weekend, huh?
Yeah.
You have to have your cat's tooth pulled?
Yeah, Max got attacked by the kitten, you know, so I had to bring him to the vet because his eye was bleeding. So the vet's like, well, the cat's actually okay, but, you know, he's got this bad tooth that has to be pulled. So I'm like, oh, man. So, and, you know, now all I can think of is he's got an abscess in his mouth where the tooth is, so that kind of implies how happy he is with the new kitten on a cosmic level. Yeah, so... So at any rate, we're going to the vet. So I've been looking at a daze and kind of thinking before the eclipse, after the eclipse. Venus opposite Pluto, he's not going to be as happy as he used to be. He's going to have one less.
But it also reminds you how much he means to you. I mean, I think that that's part of the Venus opposite Pluto. We start seeing how precious, you know, we get so aware of what we could lose.
Yes.
And how precious what we have is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm certainly, you know, we were complaining that our dogs were on a leash and, you know, it's dark, dark, dark. And someone said, well, you know, the last dog that got let off the leash was eaten by a grizzly. Okay, we'll keep the dog on the leash.
Eaten by a grizzly bear? Yeah. Heather, where the hell are you living?
Really? I mean, no, this is out camping. And we're in grizzly territory.
Still, where are you camping? There's grizzly bears? Are you crazy?
Near Yellowstone. That's where we got our funny little hard-sided tea camper.
Wow.
And, you know, we have to put all of our food in a little metal box every night. We haven't seen one, darn it. But someone else said, yeah, that last summer someone got trampled by a moose there because their dog got off the leash, ran off, bugged the moose, ran back, and hit behind them.
And the moose ran them over?
Right.
Heather, really, you need to come back to New York. All right, you had enough with this adventure. Enough with this adventure in Montana, South Dakota, North. This is dangerous out there. You got grizzly bears and trampled by moose. Not good.
Great story, though.
Yes.
It happened last summer. But it reminds you, the story, I mean, the image to me is you remember what's really important to you.
Right.
I think it's like you're willing to go through the problem with Max's tooth because you love him and you care.
Right.
And I think that's also some of the surgery I'm seeing is we know what's really important to us and we know what isn't and we're willing to let go of what's not really important to us, like the tooth and probably the couple $100 for the tooth extraction.
The tooth extraction,
I know, dental bills. Mm-hmm.
I should just let the grizzly bear pull the tooth out.
It'd be much cheaper. But
jeez Louise. All right.
But yeah, you know, you know what matters to you. And
yeah.
I think that is one of the pieces that these series of eclipses is reminding us. If it's not really important to us, we can let it go. But if it is, how do we take our stand for it?
Right.
And work towards it.
Right. No, totally true. Totally true. So, all right, so what else is ahead in the week? Do we have any other exciting observations to share?
I think those are the main things we're going to see.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll keep us pretty busy.
Yeah.
I think it will keep us.
You have that wonderful loving tonight. Tonight is some very nice aspects, you know, we know with Venus trine Neptune. And it really is, I think, a wonderful place to drop into the heart. And, you know, if the relationships aren't working out around you and people are being a real drag and it's hard to love them, we can move it into meditation. You know, love all sentient beings, love the world, even if we can't necessarily love the person next to us or, you know, we're not happy with them at the moment. We can move it into a bigger love. We can expand that love and make it a spiritual love and feel the love that it really is in the world. I mean, this gang of three, as you put it so well, Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune together, trine Venus is beautiful. And tonight, trine the moon in Libra, it's really resonating on what matters to our hearts. Then, tomorrow, Venus squares Uranus and gets a little restless. It says, enough with the love, you know. I want something, now I want to see some evidence. And as the moon goes into Scorpio for the next couple of days, the loving energy today may get a little tweaky. You know, it's like, okay, you just said you love somebody. Now what do you mean by that? Or you've just said you love all sentient beings. Now the person in front of you is being a royal pain. How do you handle that?
Hit them.
With your new philosophy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and enough with people. We need a little solitude for the next 3 days as that moon goes into Scorpio and Venus squares Uranus. We need to return to ourselves, not make everybody else around us happy, but come back to ourselves while that moon is in Scorpio. And I think we can watch some real Machiavellian strange things going on this week as Mercury goes to oppose Neptune on the 31st. Mercury opposed Neptune brings the squirrels out of the walls. If you've got a strange place in your psyche, it comes out with Mercury opposed Neptune.
I never thought of that before. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes the sane people crazy and the crazy people woohoo. Watch the news this weekend as Mercury opposes Neptune. It could be just we're a little foggy, or there's weather damage, or we might see hurricanes because it's an air sign. So there's a lot happening in air signs. So the air and the fire are stirred up. Water is being strange. I just got caught in a hailstorm yesterday. That was strange. But that how do we work with that turbulence with Mercury opposed Neptune? So don't take yourselves too seriously while Mercury opposed Neptune. And that's on the 31st. And then Venus opposes Pluto, which worries me a little bit that people are, I have a feeling we're going to hear some clients are going to fall madly in love tonight or tomorrow. And then decide they're going to leave their husband or wife because they're not thinking clearly, and Venus is opposed Uranus, and the grass looks greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. Then Venus opposes Pluto, and they realize, oh, my God, oh, no, I've made the wrong decision. And then next week, Mars challenges the nodes, and they'll go, what did I do? So we're asking people, please feel all that excitement and that you might have right now, but consider waiting until next week. If you still have the decision after August 2nd, we'll back it.
Right.
But decisions that are made this weekend, really just kind of let the feelings flow through you and watch it and try not to get caught in the drama of it. That's a nice plot line. Let me write that down for an opera. But I don't necessarily have to live that.
Right. Yeah,
and
no,
notice
yes.
that.
Yeah, no, it's a big week for, I'm leaving you, slamming of the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and, don't do it unless you mean it.
Well, but sometimes with eclipses, it kind of comes up. People just kind of do stuff, and, you're like, what'd you do? What'd you do that for? What are you thinking?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a, it's a it's a volatile energy. And remember, eclipses do bring things to surface. So the other part of it is this has been brewing for a while. And maybe not been being dealt with, and now suddenly it feels like you have to do it immediately, and it's like, look, you've been having this situation for years now, why now? And they'll be like, well, I can't take it anymore, I can take it a moment longer, and you're like, okay, so I guess you need to do it now, but at the same time, you have been dealing with this for a really long time, so maybe before you run out the door, think about it.
I think you've got a really good sorting point. If it's something you've been cooking on for a while, this may be the perfect time to do it.
Right.
If it's something that just occurs to you this weekend and you just suddenly can't take it anymore, shut up and take 2 days off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get the camper and go play with the bears.
Exactly.
Because you really just need a little. You need a little excitement, but that's not necessarily the ending the relationship at this moment. But yeah, it is a big divorce week, and just kind of one of those weeks.
Right.
Hard week.
You're right. If it is something that's been cooking for a while, you may need to do it.
Right. Mark, you're back, right? I heard you fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, got anything to add? We've got a couple callers, so I'll pick them up after you get any last comments.
That's right. Yeah, I was just going to say, as I was listening to you guys, there's that phrase, if you want to understand somebody, walk a mile in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, here's another take on it. If you want to understand somebody, sit for a half hour on their cushion.
I like that. Meditate in their place.
Yeah,
I like that.
That works for me. Cool.
Let's try that out this week.
All right. I like that. All right, so we do have some callers. And for those of you who are listening and would like to call in, the number is 347-215-8881. Repeat, 347-215-8881. So I'll try the caller thing and see if we get them in. Hello, 973-542. How are you? Are you there? Nope. Guess they're not there. Okay.
The next one. They wait.
Yeah. All right. I got to hang up one. This is like where the part of the machine gets excited. And, all right. We'll try again. Okay. Ready to go. Hi, 862. How are you? Are you there? Hello. I don't hear anybody. Do you hear anybody?
No.
Okay. Well, it says on air, so I don't know. I'm not hearing a thing. But that doesn't mean And the little click switch says they're on here. Okay, so I don't know what's going on, folks.
It's another part of Mercury opposed Neptune.
Mercury opposed Neptune.
Sometimes communication apparatus starts to stutter.
So
if you called in tonight and we think we hear you and we can't hear you and you do, try again. Call us again and know that we care.
All right, 347-215-8881. All right, so maybe they got tired and left and the thing didn't hang them up. I don't know. So forward. Yeah, no, I'm looking at this, and I'm kind of also looking at the a lot of the energy that's running around. We've got that Libra moon, and then this week is Scorpio, and then Sag. So what we're doing now is we're really, you know, when we move into the Libra, Scorpio, Sages, we're working with the other guy, or we're supposed to, because we're in the 7th, 8th, and 9th houses, where we're supposed to think about what the other guy's experience is and what they're trying to do. And sometimes that's a little hard, you know, especially with eclipses. And the eclipse that's coming is Leo Aquarius. So it's in the house of love given, love received, how we feel loved or how we don't feel loved, and or that whole concept of what creativity is for us and what our hopes and dreams are, what we want to create versus what we want to witness and hope for. So I think one of the things we want to kind of watch with this eclipse coming too is, as that energy, as we go out to the outside world, being aware of, okay, I'm out in the outside world with the moon in Libra, Scorpio, and Sag, and as I'm in the outside world, I'm going to be hearing the other guy's vision, version, hopes, and they aren't necessarily mine, but I do need to understand them in reference to my own, because there's a witnessing thing that goes on with the Leo and the Aquarius dyad. The Leo is about the performance and the artistry and the appearance in the world. And then the Aquarius is about the being the audience and watching. And so there's a lot of energy this week about watching the other guy and seeing what they're doing, because there's a lot of energy around not necessarily getting what they're doing, but kind of looking at them with this kind of curious, fascinated, kind of sideways look where you go, what are you doing? What? You know, and as you do that, you kind of go, oh, I never really thought of that before. So I love Leo and Aquarius because of the witnessing, you know, the audience, you know, what's a performer without an audience? And correspondingly,
right.
what's an audience for? What, you know, the audience needs something to watch. So it's very much a watching energy this week, too. So
I describe the difference with... you know, the benefit, like every sign has its gift and its challenge, and the Leo gift is, I am the center of the universe, and so are you.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is, I am the center of the universe, and you are not.
Right.
And that, you know, the gift of the Leo is, you know, every teacher has to have that Leo quality, that shine. If I shine for the benefit of all sentient beings, I shine and you learn. I shine and you're entertained. You know, that... Yeah, that we are at our best, we're a gift, and we have our work to do. When it's at our best, we occlude other people, it becomes a problem. And if this full moon eclipse is, how do I really shine, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, seems like the Leo theme song. So how do we shine in our own light and make the whole world a better place because of it? You know, how do we make it a gift? How do we really... understand our collective experience as well as our individual. I'm seeing this, you know, in the political sense of how does the individual benefit and still help the country, because the country's in such trouble right now. How do we help make decisions that, you know, notice that, for instance, if we do support, you know, a form of health care that helps more than ourselves, if we do make some kind of public health care system like so many other countries, that means that the people that are around us are healthier, which means that we're healthier, so that actually it can serve us well. That's my take on it. Another political approach might question that. But the idea of balancing my needs and the collective needs at the same time, it could be, how do I live happily and honor my family responsibilities? Because that's that Aquarius. That's the Aquarius audience.
Right.
Now, it could be, you know, anyway, you know, in the group experience, how do I, really connect to my group and really connect to my community and feel okay about myself, you know, that they reflect back and forth. And I'm seeing that some people have chosen this week, you know, I have two clients that are, at, you know, relationships have ended a while ago. They're really, they're not the least bit interested in being in relationships, and they're feeling very lonely. And both of them on their own have chosen sometime during this week. One has chosen to be, to kind of get involved in some major charity where she's really, you know, down there feeding people the soup kitchens. And another one has chosen to enter a class or a workshop. So they're both choosing group experiences to honor their sense of connection. So they're, instead of worrying about individual relationships, which is just not interesting to them at the moment, they're really worried about how do they connect to a group and feel, you know, both private in themselves, you know, they really want to share themselves, but feel less lonely because they're connecting to a group that they feel good about.
That they believe in the
group. And, yeah, and it's really working. And another one who just chose to walk all the dogs down the dog pound because the dogs are the only family that she likes. Hey, for her.
She's clear. You know, these people are not worth anything. I'm just going to hang out with the dogs.
Hang out with the dogs. But
gotta
she's be, walking the dogs and she's feeling better.
There's something to be said for that. You know, dogs are easy. People not so easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes they're easy, but. All right, and our call-in number for is 347-215-8881. I really feel bad that those other two callers just disappeared. So call back, 347-215-8881. Mark, any thoughts on, whoops, there he went. Do we lose Mark?
I think so.
That little
Mark
cell phone. That little cell phone bing took off. We're having Neptune things here with the phones tonight. Okie dokie.
that
you got to love it. It's not a gorilla or a moose or a grizzly bear. It's the phones, you know. It's the phones. It makes you really.
Something to get
It makes it. You kind of go, okay, the phones are acting funny. So Mark is off in the ethers, and he'll hopefully be back in a second or two. And I think, you know, I'm perfectly willing to talk about healthcare because I think it's interesting with Neptune, Jupiter. I was looking at the U.S. chart, the Sibley chart for the United States, and, you know, the moon is in Aquarius, and, of course, Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron are all on the moon. And so some 85% of Americans want a change in healthcare, want the healthcare system adjusted or changed in some way, shape, or form.
They may not agree on how, but they do want that change.
They want the change. And I thought Obama's speech last week was interesting when he said, you know, if we leave it, if we know it's broken, and if we leave it broken, it's going to be 27 or 28, you know, $9-10 million worth, trillion dollars of debt in the hole versus if we need to change it, we can maybe have something better, and we'll only be like $7 trillion. There he is. There's Mark. But I think taking the profit motive out of healthcare, but it's interesting because Chiron, Neptune, and Jupiter are on the U.S. moon right now, which is healthcare. You know, it's kind of saying,
right.
what does the public want around its health or around its bodies and Jupiter, Neptune, this whole kind of craziness that everybody's going, well, you know, it's going to do this and it's going to do that. And it's like, it hasn't even been written, people. Stop already. You know, you don't know what it's going to look like. But that's the craziness that's going on around the discussion. So if you're wondering why everybody is so vehement and jumping up and down, it's the Neptune, Jupiter, Chiron, the gang of three kind of mugging people in the corner over there. So, Mark, comments?
On one side, on the bad side, it's mugging them. On the good side, it's holding the vision. And
right,
you see it going back and forth.
Right, but usually when it's the collective, it goes to the lower form of the energy, which is mugging them. So, I mean, it feels like mugging to me. It's like, we don't even have anything yet. What are you people complaining about? At least let's look at it before we start yelling. So,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But I'm.
It is. You know, it is exactly. You're right. The moon, I'm just looking at the Sibley chart. The moon with at about exactly 24 degrees.
Yeah, it's right on it. Mm-hmm.
Right on
mm-hmm.
it. And the eclipse is awfully close to that moon.
Yes,
so
that
it's saying,
sure
look, we have got to get it together, guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we see that in the American chart, the progressed sun went into Pisces 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, we entered a time when we really are looking at the shadow side of America and our weakness, and we have to develop more compassion and more sense of collectivity. Because we've got a 30-year time with the progressed sun in Pisces, and we have to work with the best of that. If we pretend that we're at our macho, tough self, we miss the point of this, and it just disempowers us further. It's a time when we can't seek power the way we used to. We have to find it from a sense of compassion and understanding and, you know, the good side of the progressed sun in Pisces. If we do that, then our progressed sun moves into Aries in another 26 years.
Well, I'm planning on being dead by then.
Broken. I don't know about that, Anne. You might still be around.
No. I'm out of here. I've decided I'm not sticking around for that one. But I think it's interesting you think about Pisces, because the Pisces is the whining, you know, all the
whining. Right, there is that.
I really feel like there's a lot of whining going on, and it's the whining, you know. It's like everybody whining about stuff, you know, so that's interesting.
And whining, whining.
Yeah.
And the progressed moon is 8 months into Virgo, so that it has another 22 months, you know, tending our personal homework. And if we do tend our personal homework, then the progressed moon goes into Libra and enters the first house in a couple of years, and we come back in good shape out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we kind of get stuck in the 12th house for a while.
Right. Well, I'll be drug addicts and crazy people. That's interesting. Well, I think you should tell the people on Fox News that we shouldn't be pounding our chests anymore and being the patrol officers of America. But, Mark, comments, we heard you drop off. We heard you come back. You're back.
Yeah. That Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune group with all this healthcare talk, too, you notice that one of the big issues that keeps being kicked around is the issue of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Who's included? And, you know, everybody's got their way to kick the can on that one. And what they don't realize is there's really nothing to kick, you know.
Right.
If you look at other programs elsewhere, who's included is everybody, you know.
Right.
Like, what kind of criteria do you keep trying to come up with for how to include and exclude all these various people, you know? It's like...
What's the
universal part of universal health care, you know?
Right.
Universal except for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Those people don't
and again, you know, in Europe, if you, you know, there is universal health care, but if you want something, you know, extra done, then you can pay for it privately. But the general population is dealing with a higher level of health. And with what's going to be pushing that, if we don't pay attention, I think, I'm really worried with this lineup and the flu epidemic coming this fall. But the idea, if we can take care of the general health of the public is good, then our health has a better chance. It will really see that the collective and the personal benefit both work. Like if you take care of your employees, your company runs better, and therefore you make a better profit. I mean, that there is a way of working that it's not about socialism. It's about really... The collective helps the individual, and the individual can help the collective, and it can work well together. And when you germ share on the subway and you germ share in every airport, to have the collective be as healthy as it can be will help you.
Mm-hmm.
It's no skin off your teeth. It really will help you.
Right.
It's really a simple concept.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that Jupiter, Neptune, Chiron all lined up together in the sign of the collective will make that clear one way or the other.
Well, yeah, we get a good pandemic, flu epidemic, and, you know, half the country's in the hospital, and we realize the limits of the healthcare system. It might actually make the argument a little easier to go around, you know, because people will go, I guess maybe we do need healthcare. I think one of the things they could do is, you know, is like say, well, okay, what are the commons? What are the things we think are important for a population? We don't have a problem. I mean, we do in a sense. But, you know, the premise of free education, you know, for the citizenry, that's a good thing. The concept of open roads that we build with the toll dollars, that's a good thing. You know, the concept of what actually is the commons, I think that maybe needs to be a conversation.
Right. I think you've done a very good point there. That's a very Aquarian question.
Right. Well, the whole idea is, you know, we say, oh, you can't have this. It's not da da da. It's like, no, what's the commons? What do we all do? What are we all part of? We, you know, the judicial system, we can go to court. We can have our day in court. We can call the police. I think health is part of the process. And I think the other thing that's not getting mentioned is how much money. How much money is being made on the backs of people? And I have one very Libra and Aquarian friend who always says to me, Ann, the fact that the United States is run on the debt of Americans is really not a good thing for the culture and the future. You know, that there's so many people in such debt, and at the same time, I think that can be extended to the fact that we profit off of people's illness by denying them care, because that's what happens a lot of times. It, you know, and that very much is the Uranus impulse. It's like, no, you're out, no, you're out, no, you're out. It's like, why? Why can't I have a bone marrow transplant if that's going to help? But if I'm talking to someone who's got to make money and make a lot of money based on it, then I think it should be, I think the mandate should be that there is no more for-profit insurance. That, just make it through that. Just say, you know what, we're going to make tomorrow, we're going to make all the insurance companies that offer health insurance nonprofits. Why would you profit off of someone's illness? And that's what you do. At that point, it solves an enormous amount of problems because then all this stuff goes away. Because you're not making money on people's
illnesses. Their fear. You're making profit off their fear of illness, not their illness.
Yes, yes.
But that, again, is, you know, how can we actually take care of that rather than profit off that fear?
Right.
And, again, I think, there's, you know, this is America. There always has to be room for people to do it their own way.
Yes.
But, you know, when we raise the baseline, it's like when we raise the baseline that everybody had free education through high school,
mm-hmm.
it improves the country to have a better educated populace.
Right.
When we, you know, fix the roads, anybody can drive across them. When we have a good fireworks display, everybody can watch them.
Right.
That those, you know, raising those levels, and that's part of that Aquarius moon that is in America's chart. How do we support that with the individual rights of the and which is also deeply in the American chart, and they go back and forth. And I do think that you're right about how can we raise the commons and then let people do what they want to do on top of that. But that we haven't looked at raising the commons. I really like how you put that. We have in education, we have in transportation, but we have not looked at it in health.
Yeah, and it really needs to be there because it is basic. I mean, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. You know, that's fundamental to functioning and living in the world. And, you know, people, you know, anybody I know with any kind of chronic illness, they're always like, just be really grateful that you have health because that is the biggest gift. And then secondly, preserving it is the second biggest gift because when it goes away, you really miss it. So,
right. I mean,
yeah.
And you see in America, it is built in that if people really lose their health and they are permanently disabled, they are paid for by the country for the rest of their life. Huge amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of money that goes into taking care of someone who is disabled for life from a crippling illness. But how much money do we spend preventing those crippling illnesses that then take a huge chunk out of the American taxpayers' budget?
Right.
We wait for it to happen. And I think that that's where the concept of preventative health, people don't see how supportive that is to all of our budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a win-win situation.
Right.
But that's the politics of it on my side. What we see is the question of it comes up with the eclipse. The question of my individual rights with the sun in Leo and the collective rights of the moon Aquarius are up big time this week with that eclipse, whether it's the government, it's our family, it's our work situation, any dynamic.
The I thou.
Mm-hmm.
I thou in the rights energy, yeah.
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 All right. So we lost our callers.
We lost our callers and they never called back.
Try again next week.
Sorry. He's like, where'd they left us?
But we will be here looking at the third of the eclipses next week.
Yeah.
That'll be Monday evening, 11 o'clock. And if you don't catch us Monday evening at 11, you can always dial into Blog Talk Radio anytime and download the conversation.
And make sure you tell your friends about us, too, so we get more listeners. That's always helpful. Because we're sitting here having a wonderful time in the party, and you should be, too.
Right.
Even if it's a little late on the school night. Somebody said it's
organize,
late on the school
organize
night.
Organize yourself.
Huh?
Organize yourself to call in.
Organize yourself to
and,
call in.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Right. Those people probably went to bed, you know.
You know, and also I want to suggest that they can find us, if they do find us, on astronyc.com or any of our individual emails. If they put in a question and ask us, we can answer it on the email, on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can listen
right.
to it at their leisure later on in the week by downloading the blog.
Right.
That's right, yeah. If you email in a question, we will answer it on the next show.
Right.
So.
Cool. That works.
All right.
That works for me.
Good. So
email questions, people. Write to us. We miss you. We're sorry we didn't get the call. Our phone thing didn't work for the callers that called earlier. Apologies. So,
that'll be for next week.
Yeah. We'll try. You know, and actually they were in early, so I should have probably said, oh, they're here already. And well, you know, callers don't always hang
we'll
on the
try.
Line. So.
Try that next week.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Access Astrology signing off. And again, you can find us at astronyc.com. That's astronyc.com. And this is Mark Waltz, New York.
And Ann Ortley in New York.
And Heather Rowan Robbins from Cody, Wyoming.
Being chased by grizzly bears. Heather, I really want you to text me every day and let me just know that you haven't been eaten alive, okay? Can you do that for me?
Oh, don't worry. We're coming back to civilization starting tomorrow, so we're out of the grizzly bears.
You go away on these adventure vacations, and I get really, you know, you start telling me about grizzly bear. I'm like, no. What are you doing, woman? Come on. You know, you got grandchildren, for heaven's sake.
I tell the people in Wyoming about having lived in New York. They go, oh, my God, how could you have done something so dangerous?
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. They all go, oh, they're curious.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we're all hanging up now. So goodbye, people. Have a great week.
Okay.
Watch out for the eclipses.
Bye.
And remember, don't break up with people over the weekend. Just hang in there, okay?
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.